Father, we thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for this glorious opportunity to gather. We thank you for your living word, Lord, and help us to gather this morning what you have for us and to find our ears open and our hearts open to you, Lord, that we might just praise you. We might just thank you. We might just bring you glory. Lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue on through another 16 verses in this Psalm 119, and I spent a lot of time on Psalm 119 this week because I wasn't doing much preparation because I had 2 weeks off of studies and so forth. And all I know is the more time you spend in the Word, the cleaner it is, the better it is, the more glorious it is. And so as we look at these verses today, maybe just ponder a little bit on them. And we will begin with the 8 verses under the letter M, or Mem in Hebrew. We would call it M in English. And I'll read these 8 verses and then we'll talk about them just a little bit. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And all we can say, all I can say is, wow. With every single verse here, just it's so unbelievable if you just want to camp on it for a while. Just verse 1, first line, oh, how I love your law. And think about that. How much do you love the Word of God? Oh, how I love your law. Well, I think one mark is it, how much of the day are you meditating on it? The couplet here is, it is my meditation all the day. So I ask myself the question, how much of my day am I meditating on the Word of God? And you can add prayer to that. You can add other things to that. You can add praise and singing and whatever you want to add. All good. But how much are you meditating on the Word of God? I think, I guess, I don't really know, but my reaction is that as long as we have breath, and we're awake, we're thinking of something. I don't know how you can go without thinking about something. Try to block out your mind for just a moment and think about nothing. I don't think we can you? At least I can. I'm always thinking about something. So what am I thinking about? How much of the time am I thinking about the Word of God? And how thankful I am that I have something to, in fact, if you tie a boat to a dock, right, it's attached to the dock, right? It's not, it may be going up and down a little bit, but it's not leaving. It's staying right there, right? Isn't it wonderful to have the Word of God that we can dock our mind on? And what is the opposite of that? It's docking our mind on all the worldly stuff. And there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Oh, have you heard the latest? Have you heard this? But it doesn't matter whether you've heard it or not. It doesn't make any difference. You heard about the latest gossip, the latest rumor? What is there in that of the world that can bring you anything but confusion and unrest and dissatisfaction and longing, right? Whereas the Word of God, it's the opposite of that in every area, isn't it? So here we have this, it is my meditation all the day. I mean, it's so good to come into this room and sense the presence of God, but you have the same presence of God with you on your way. I mean, Bob, even on a bicycle, I mean, right? I don't know. Well, that's really something. But wherever we are, God is present, isn't he? We don't have to go find him. Now, there may be some places in your life where you've had especially memorable times with the Lord, and that may be a place that you like to go just because it's a place that you know he's there. But I can tell you, he's as much with you going and coming as he is with you at the place where you are, where you think your destination is. And now, what does the Word do for you? Well, verse 98 says, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Think how much truth is in that verse. So if you don't have any enemies, you're not telling the truth. We have enemies all the time. There's no place on this globe where Satan is saying, I'm not going to resist the gospel. I'm not going to resist anything to do with the Lord. And I just want to see you destroyed. So don't think you're going to go to a different country or planet or something else, a country somewhere else where there's no resistance to the gospel. There always is. And there's resistance to you by the world because you're his. But this tells us that his commandments, his word, makes us wiser than our enemies. I don't know if you've spent any time watching the really brilliant people, those like Hawkins and some of the others, what they say and all. They're brilliant. They have no wisdom at all. Because if you don't have this, you don't have any wisdom. You may have not a lot of knowledge, but there's no wisdom apart from the Lord. There's no wisdom apart from the Spirit, really, in the true sense of the word, in my opinion anyway. But through the promises, through your commandments, you become wiser than your enemies. You don't have more knowledge than they. I'm not saying that. You have more wisdom, though. And then you have more understanding than your teachers. And I would put in there your worldly teachers. But you do have more understanding than your worldly teachers. How many of the PhDs today are teaching that there really aren't two sexes? And you can really change your sex if you want. Now, is that understanding or not? It's not. But I have more understanding than all my teachers. And then listen to this. Because your testimonies are my meditation. You keep coming back to the Word, right? You keep weighing everything by the Word of God. You keep weighing all your actions by the Word of God. Is this in accordance with the Word of God? And then, beyond your years, I understand more than the ancients. I just think about 2 days, the day before Pentecost and the day after Pentecost. Think what a difference those 2 days have in them. As the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and every believer is filled with the Spirit. Not overflowing. I'm not talking about the overflow, but I'm talking about the being filled with the Spirit. And the ancients didn't have that. Some of them had it some of the time, but not all of them had it all of the time. And every believer has it all of the time if we would just apply it, right? If we would just take advantage of it. I understand more than the ancients because, why? I keep. Now you'll notice keep is used in here 3 times in today's study. Keep is an important word because I keep your precepts. So see the obedience in that verse. I understand more than the ancients, not because I know your precepts, but because I keep them. And then verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Another keeper there. And again, notice the connection between evil ways and the word of God. The word of God keeps you from evil. Without the word of God, you're going to get into evil. And without the word of God, you can't even discern between good and evil. We've been so sold in recent years, it seems like, hasn't it, that we're to be tolerant of everything. We're to be tolerant of everything. If we're not, we're a, what is it, a phobic or whatever it is against whatever it is. But no, the word of God shows us, contrasts clearly the difference between good and evil. And what are we to do? We're to overcome evil with good, absolutely. And we are to hate evil. We're to hate sin. We're to hate what God hates. We're to love what he loves, right? So I've restrained my feet from every evil way. Now, I have questions pretty much every one of these verses. What happens to my feet some of the times? Because it seems like they can slip back toward that evil way, right? At least the thought of it is there. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Now, we cannot keep his word if we're involved in evil, right? Isn't that also come out of that verse? And notice the connection here between departing from judgments and the word of God. The next one, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. And so the word keeps us where we need to be. It teaches us. And then how sweet is it? How sweet are your words to my taste? How would you answer that? Sweeter than honey to my mouth? Great picture there, though, isn't it? Taste and mouth. Sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then the last verse in that stanza, through your precepts, I get understanding. And the result, therefore, I hate every false way. Do you? Do you hate every false way? Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So we see then that the mem area, I would say it's a sweet place that the Word of God gives us to rest our wearied minds in a way. How we love it. How we want to meditate on it all the day. Now we get to noon here and we have verse 105, which is probably one of the most well-known verses in this psalm, I guess. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Wow. So just looking at the word as a lamp or a torch, a great source of light to my feet and a light to my path. Now, what kind of darkness is around us? Well, there's absence of light, there's a physical darkness, isn't there? But I think there's always spiritual darkness around you. So when I come here in the morning, it's dark. There's almost no light coming in through the door, so I kind of shuffle around through there, not stumbling over the chairs and stuff to get to the light switches, which are over here. And that's, you know, there's some light there. That's not true darkness, but it's dark enough that you can fall over a chair or something. You know. So we all know the sense of being in a problem in physical darkness. And it was really dark. You kind of have to, what, inch your way along almost an inch at a time because you don't know if you're going to fall off of what's ahead, right? Is there a hole there or whatever? But even greater than that, I think, is our problem with spiritual darkness. Where is your main darkness coming from? It's coming from the spiritual side, isn't it? Because you can turn on all the lights you want and it doesn't remove you from the spiritual darkness. But His Word does. His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path in the face of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. So how much light do you have in your life spiritually? How much light do you have in your life physically? We do thank the Lord for sight, don't we? Physical sight. But how is your spiritual sight? I think it's related to your reliance on the Word of God. Verse 106, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Righteous judgments in the Word of God will keep you on track. Affliction. We have a lot of affliction, don't we? How does God get our attention? How does God change us? Trials and afflictions, right? Primarily. So here the psalmist says, I'm afflicted very much. Does that fit any of you today? Any of you got any afflictions going on right now? Well, the day's pretty young. They'll come. I am afflicted very much, and then what? Bring me back to life, Lord. Get me through this and let me learn from this that I would have full strength again, so to speak. Revive me. So you want to pray for revival? Here's a revival. Revive me, Lord, after my afflictions or during my afflictions. Revive me, O Lord. How? According to your word. Wow. Tied in again to the word every verse here, isn't it? I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. What a great prayer. And here's another one, verse 108. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. Willingly. Anytime I see the word willingly, in the New King James anyway. In the Old King James, the word willingly is used. In the Alexandria text, in the NIVs and all those, they don't use willingly. So I look in there for the word willingly, and it's not used. It's a different word. And their word means the same thing. But I like willingly because free will is what we want with everything we offer to Him, isn't it? We're offering it out of our willingness, not because we have to. I want to give to the Lord willingly. I don't want to give to the Lord because I have to. I want to offer the praises of offering from my mouth freely and willingly, not because I have to. And the prayer is here, accept them and teach me your judgments. How often do you find yourself just singing to the Lord? Just singing to Him. My life is continually in my hand. Wow. Yet. You got a couple of yets here in verse 109, 110. Yet I do not forget your law. I think of David in this psalm. Think about the years that Saul had his 3,000 chosen soldiers trying to find him and kill him, and how close to death he would come pretty much every day. So here the psalmist is saying, or the Spirit is saying, my life is continually in my hand. This might be my last day, might be my last hour. The enemies are lurking. And he says, yet I do not forget your law. What drives away fear? Faith. What drives away fear? The word of God. And then the wicked have laid a snare for me. The snare basically is an invisible trap. Yet I have not strayed from your precepts. So, fearful of even death, I don't forget your law. Having a wicked lay a snare for me, I am not straying from your precepts. Rock solid on the word of God. And then testimonies. Your testimonies I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I mentioned a little earlier this morning to one of you that came in about, just think about his testimonies of what he's given you that you have record of today versus the first day you came to the Lord. And it's amazing. You know, the Spirit puts enough faith in you to receive the Lord, right? And you have very little in the reservoir over here of past accomplishments and performances and whether his faithfulness, right? And now we look, we have this faithful after faithful after faithful after faithful, don't we? Isn't he faithful? And so these testimonies, his testimonies to us, I've taken as a heritage forever. Isn't that great? It doesn't mean I'm just going to remember until the end of the month or the end of the year. This is forever. I love it. Forever. Kind of makes our calendars look kind of puny, doesn't it? 2024, we got another year. Wow, isn't that a big deal? Well, it is kind of a big deal, but it, in terms of eternity, it doesn't mean a huge amount, one more year, does it? Or one more hour, one more day. I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. How am I rejoicing in the heritage of his faithfulness? How thankful am I? How much do I love him? How much do I love his word? And then verse 12, I've inclined my heart, or that means to stretch it out. I've inclined or purposed. I've purposed, stretched out my heart to perform your statutes forever. Now that's a resolution. You want to make a resolution. It's not New Year's, it's forever here. I've inclined my heart through the word of God and with his help to perform your statutes forever. To the very end. Isn't that beautiful? Well, Father, as we look at your word, it's just every word is so beautiful and so unbelievable. And it is obviously a bar that we have want to attain, that we're so far from it, yet in these bodies in so many ways. And yet we think of how far you've brought us just in these brief years of our lifetime, Lord, really, since we came to you and walking with you. And we marvel at what you've done in our life. We just marvel at it. And yet, on the other hand, we see such a desire to get rid of some of the problems that are in our flesh that taint the whole picture, Lord. So may we not mar it today through selfishness and through pride and through arrogancy. More humility, Lord, for us all. Oh, we just want to love you more, Lord. We just want to thank you more. We want to praise you more. And Lord, we have moments now to pray to you. We thank you for that blessedness of prayer and to communicate with you. And you ask us to do that. We are told to pray. So lead us now as we spend these moments together just as a family. Whatever you put on our hearts, we know is something that we should pray about. In Jesus' name, let's pray. As we come to kind of the close of today's time together, just wanted to read a couple of very familiar scriptures here to you, but just to remind myself of a couple of aspects of death. You know, I don't think there was death originally in our DNA, so to speak, because we were perfectly created and there was no sin in the world. But then man fell and sinned, and through sin came death. All born of Adam, so we all die. And there's something about death in that regard that it's, as Jesus would even weep at the time before he raised Lazarus, he certainly wasn't weeping for Lazarus because he was going to raise him from the dead, resuscitate him. Actually, he wasn't really resurrecting him because he came back in the same body. But he was weeping for the effect of sin in the world and the pain and suffering that it causes and is very real to all of us. And we've been talking about the loss of a loved one, which is so tremendous. But we read here in the, I'm going to read two sections here, one from Apostle Paul and the other writing through Apostle Peter, saying the same thing. They start out exactly the same way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And has already been mentioned here this morning, one of the best ways we can comfort others is to pray for them. And if the Lord gives you some other things in addition to that, do that as well. But he has comforted. He is the comforter. And he comforts us in all situations here. And then through the fall of Adam and the distancing of us through sin from a true righteous God, we have the reconciliation. And the whole Bible is really about that. The whole Bible is about the redemption, is it not? And we have these beautiful words that you know well, great words about the other side of this coin of death, and that is the living hope that we have through Jesus Christ. So in Peter's account, 1 Peter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, starts out exactly the same way, who has according to his abundant mercy begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. Think of that. And the next clause is even, in a way, better. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Wow, is that power or what? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Isn't that amazing? We can't see Jesus, but how we love him. Whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I'd like to read on, but we'd never come to a stopping place, really. But just think about that. Eternity. We grieve for a short season. We trials and afflictions for a short season, and they're real and they're painful. And But we know through that God is doing great things. But think about the flip side of that, of having an eternity promised because of what he's done for us. Oh, isn't that awesome? And I know that when people are really grieving, kind of the last thing you want to say to them, well, look up. Oh, man, you're going to be with the Lord forever. They know that, but they're hurting that right now. They got their heart's been torn out, a part of it, right? But God will take care of that as well. But we want to pray for those. And as Steve mentioned and others, the ones that you really grieve over are the ones who aren't with the Lord. Now, we don't know who that is, but the ones who are in that category, that's eternity apart from the Lord. And so I hope that would encourage me and all of us to do what we can to shine the light into the darkness, right? Amen. So let's just close here with how great thou art, because he truly is great.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my song, my Savior God to thee. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my song, my Savior God to
for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for being the comforter. And Lord, guide us as we go through this day. May we honor you and praise you, and may we be available for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.